In early 1917, the original Dixieland Jazz Band made the first jazz recording. Over the next 100 years, we've heard transcendent leaps of creativity and staggering virtuosity. We have experienced the music of crushing pain, breathless romance, anger, exhilaration, and humor. This is that story. 100 years of jazz recordings. From WTJU Charlottesville, your host, Russell Perry. In previous programs in this series, we've listened to stride pianists and jazz orchestras from New York. In this hour, we'll return to Harlem to listen to maybe the most important band leader in jazz history and one of the most significant composers of the music, Duke Ellington. Gary Giddens writes, "Calling Ellington a band leader is like calling Bach an organist." We're joined today by John Durth, trumpet player, composer, recording artist, and member of the performance faculty of the McIntyre School of Music at the University of Virginia. A contemporary of Louis Armstrong, Duke Ellington moved from Washington, D.C. to New York at roughly the same time and established himself as a recording artist. By 1927, he was established in residency at the Cotton Club, broadcasting nationally on the radio and building a repertoire of jazz compositions custom-made for the specific players in the band. In their book Jazz, Gary Giddens and Scott DeVoe write, "In crafting pieces with and for trumpeter Bubber Miley, Ellington ignored Don Redman's method of contrasting reeds and brasses and combined his instruments to create odd voicings, thereby creating a new sound in American music. As presented in his first major works, East St. Louis Toodaloo, Ellington's version of a ragtime dance, Black and Tan Fantasy, and two vividly different approaches to the blues I love to sing, and Creole Love Call, in which he used wordless singing as he would an instrument, the overall effect was mysterious, audacious, and carnal." We'll listen to East St. Louis Toodaloo from 1927, a collaboration of Miley and Ellington. The composition is a series of mostly solo themes over a muted background, followed by Black and Tan Fantasy, also from 1927. Black and Tan refers to the small, mixed-race clubs that passed for a truly open society in the 1920s. At this time, Ellington was playing at the Cotton Club, one of 11 nightclubs in Harlem that catered to high-class whites, with an all-black band to an all-white audience. To reflect the paucity of social progress represented by the meager Black and Tan market, Ellington labels this a fantasy. Musically, he contrasts Bubber Miley's King Oliver-influenced 12-bar blues with a 16-bar ragtime-influenced melody. East St. Louis Toodaloo and Black and Tan Fantasy. Thank you. That was East St. Louis Toodaloo and Black and Tan Fantasy by Duke Ellington and his orchestra. In the 1920s, Ellington was as likely to compose wordless parts for his contributing vocalists as to collaborate with lyricists. Vocalist Adelaide Hall says, "I was standing in the wings behind the piano when Duke first played Creole Love Call. I started humming along with the band. He stopped the number and came over to me and said, 'That's just what I was looking for. Can you do it again?' I said, 'I can't, because I don't know what I was doing.' He begged me to try. Anyway, I did and sang this counter melody, and he was delighted and said, 'Addie, you're going to record this with the band.' A couple of days later, I did." Let's hear Blues I Love to Sing and Creole Love Call by Duke Ellington and his orchestra from 1927, featuring Adelaide Hall on the vocals.
Thank you.
That was Blues I Love to Sing and Creole Love Call by Duke Ellington and his orchestra, with Adelaide Hall singing. Let's follow with another tune from 1927, Blue Bubbles, and Take It Easy from 1928. The Duke Ellington Orchestra of this period is Lewis Metcalf and Bubber Miley on trumpet, Joe Nanton on trombone, Rudy Jackson, Otto Hardwick, Harry Carney on reeds, Fred Guy on guitar, Wilman Bro on bass, and Sonny Greer on drums. That was Blue Bubbles and Take It Easy by Duke Ellington and his orchestra. We'll listen to how Duke Ellington incorporated stride piano into the music he composed for his orchestra when Jazz at 100 returns in a moment. Welcome back to Jazz at 100. We're listening to the groundbreaking music of Duke Ellington and his orchestra in the 1920s. Gary Giddens writes, "Two pieces show especially well Ellington's ability to deploy stride in orchestral writing. Jubilee Stomp, based on James P. Johnson's Victory Rag, echoes Ellington's own stride piano and Miley's break in the striding rhythms that ground the ensemble. Black Beauty, the first portrait in what grew to be a gallery honoring African-American performers, is dedicated to Florence Mills and captures her fleeting stardom in the most enchantingly beautiful melody ever conceived in the stride idiom." Here's Jubilee Stomp and Black Beauty by Duke Ellington and his orchestra from 1928. Thank you. 1928, Johnny Hodges joined the Ellington saxophone section that he anchored until 1970, except for 4 years in the 1950s. Gary Giddens writes, "A devout romantic with a sound that cuts like a knife yet spreads like butter, Hodges was a stunningly lyrical player who required few notes to make a powerful and lasting impression in any musical situation." Let's hear "Tishomingo Blues" by Duke Ellington and his orchestra, a feature for Johnny Hodges. That was "Tishomingo Blues" by Duke Ellington and his orchestra, featuring Johnny Hodges. In 1928, Ellington recorded his classic "The Mooch." Robert O'Malley in the Notes for the Jazz Singer writes, "In The Mooch, Ellington presents a musical short story of a night creature in Harlem. Out of the minor key mix of mysterioso horns and rhythm emerges Miss Baby Cox, one of the night song's characters. She scats her solo against a plucked banjo and bass in a growly voice that echoes the ominous jungle cries of the solo horns." Here Ellington at once satisfies his white cotton club audiences yearning for escape into the primitive African fantasies and creates characters that mock this audience's limited racial and aesthetic scope. Duke Ellington and his orchestra and The Mooch.
Thank you.
That was Duke Ellington and his orchestra and The Mooch from 1928. We talked with John Dearth about Ellington as a composer.
It is kind of a piety now to say that Duke was a great composer, but he is an amazing composer and so interested in composition. You know, in a way, if you say improvisation is talking in music and composition is writing in music. So he combined the two things so masterfully and pointed the way to the future for big band writing, which really had basically two roads, Duke and Count Basie. And Duke Ellington was a composer, was interested in exploiting the potential of the ensemble. He wrote very simple stuff in the cut we listened to. And frankly, you know, it's not as much about the swing as, say, the Count Basie band. So for some people, you know, it's like it's not as swinging, so it's more cerebral or whatever. But it is so, again, poetic the way he writes very simple things for the ensemble to play, but they're voiced in very unusual ways that identify them as his. That's a really important thing in composition, for a person to be a great composer, not just sort of an arranger or constructor. A composer or a jazz artist has to have their own sound, or a chamber musician who's a soloist in front of an orchestra. You really have to have your own thing. And Duke has his own thing. He really plays there with the call and response between the composed music and the improvised music. It's a conversation between the trumpet and the rest of the band. But underneath is that sense of just the nature of the music is expressed in the bass and the drums. They're swinging so hard, and they're just making that music move forward in the way that it has to move forward. Jazz never sits there. It's always moving forward.
We'll listen to the music of Duke Ellington and his orchestra when Jazz at 100 returns in a moment. Welcome back to Jazz at 100. We're listening to the legendary music of Duke Ellington and his orchestra in the 1920s. We'll continue with three selections from 1928, Misty Morning, and then parts 1 and 2 of Tiger Rag. First recorded by the original Dixieland Jazz Band, and with authorship claimed by Jelly Roll Morton, Ellington recorded this standard a dozen years later. Over the course of two parts, most of the players solo, with emphasis appropriately on New Orleans clarinetist Barney Bigard. Strong ensemble parts show the powerful development of the music over the decade. In addition to the trumpet section of Freddie Jenkins, Bubber Miley, Arthur Wetzel, and the trombone section of Joe Nanton, the new reed section in Ellington's band was Barney Bigard, Johnny Hodges, and Harry Carney, Ellington, of course, on piano, and the rhythm section of Freddie Guy on guitar, Wellman Bro on bass, and Sonny Greer on drums.
Thank you.
That was Misty Morning and Tiger Rag Parts 1 and 2 by Duke Ellington and his orchestra. We'll conclude our survey of Duke Ellington and his orchestra from the 20s with Mood Indigo. Mood Indigo is a textbook case of Ellington's novel voicing. The first chorus features a trio of straight muted trumpet, plunger muted trombone, and clarinet, with the clarinet in the bottom position of the mix. Thank you. That was Ellington's classic, Mood Indigo, from 1930. In the next hour of Jazz at 100, we'll listen to the pioneering large ensembles of the late 1920s and early 1930s that developed the sonic architecture of the big band era. We'll hear from jazz orchestras of Fletcher Henderson, Don Redman, Benny Carter, and Jimmy Lunsford. You've been listening to Jazz at 100, the history of 100 years of jazz recordings produced by WTJU Charlottesville and funded, in part, through a grant from the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities. For more information, playlists, and resources, go to wtju.net/jazz100. There you will also be able to stream programs previously broadcast. This is your host, Russell Perry.